Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. I missed the rapture. Thank you, tech team, as well. Hallelujah. You guys are just nailing it today. There's so much going on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the highest praise. Woo! Welcome to First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Glad you decided to join us for worship this morning. Praise God in the highest. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor if you weren't here at the beginning of service, in case you didn't know who I was. Please open up your Bible apps. Yes, get out your phone in church. We're encouraging that right now. Hallelujah. Get out your phones. Tablet, whatever you brought. Go ahead and open up your Bible app. I hope you have YouVersion. If you don't have YouVersion, put your phone back away. And pay attention. Hallelujah. If you open up your YouVersion app, you go down to the bottom right-hand corner. There should be three lines. It's usually in the bottom right. It says More. Click on More. And once you click on More, you'll go to Events. It'll be a few down. Click on Events. Find this. First Church of the Open Bible is our official name. It'll be under that. We go by First Open Bible. First Church of the Open Bible. Click on there. You'll see the notes for today. And you can follow along this morning if you'd like. Feel free to press the save button so you can have these notes in the future. If you write any notes down on those notes, hit save button on your notes. Otherwise, you will lose those as well. But they will be there today for the majority of the day. So feel free to jump in there and check it out. Amen, amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Jesus is alive. He's not alive. He's alive. You got to say it like that. Alive, right? Amen. I got some friends here this morning. They're from the South, and I lived in Arkansas for 7 years. That's how they say it. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. Okay. Alive, right? And the fire of God is here. Fire. Sounds so much cooler than fire of God, right? Amen. When you get in the anointing, all of a sudden you become Southern. Hallelujah. I love it. Praise God. This morning, the kids had a powerful play, didn't they, in a song? It was wonderful. Give them a hand again. Amen. He saw me. In the midst of all my sin and everything I've ever done, he saw me. When everybody wanted to judge me, he saw me. When I was down and out, he saw me. When I had no more hope and I was bound, he saw me. He saw me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he sees me. Amen. Man, this week was a big week. Did a lot of research and study and prayer. I found many great articles, a lot of songs and sermons and about this topic that God put on my heart weeks ago. And Crossway and Reverend Dave Furman and Reverend Judah Smith and a whole bunch of others were some of the people that I was really tapping into this week and saying, God, what do you have for First Open Bible this morning? And I'm so thankful that there's so much out there that we can get into God's word and we can see what God has said through other people and we can get a word that is relevant for us today, to speak to us today, because his word is alive and active. Amen? It's alive and active. It didn't die. It's alive and active. It's not only alive, it's active. It may be active this morning. So our monthly series has been titled Trauma, Experience Healing and Wholeness. Church, God desires to release wholeness and healing. Anybody been here this month in the trauma series? Amen. Anybody been traumatized by the trauma series? Don't you act like you haven't. It stirred up some stuff, let me tell you. I've gotten message after message, thing after thing, and seen people acting a fool I've never seen before. But I'm praying that it doesn't stir up just to stir up. It stirs up to free somebody from it. Because you're never going to be better until you get to the roots, right? You're never going to see good fruits till you get to the roots. And if you want to keep on living and keep producing the same things, then never get to the bottom of it. But if you want to be free, you better get to the heart of the issue. And quit blaming everybody, right? Look in a mirror, find out what is wrong, and then say, Jesus, heal me so I can deal with what is going on in my life. The more you blame, the less you're going to be free. You're just going to keep getting bound and bound. I don't even know why I'm going there. Somebody needed to hear that today. Right? Right? The good old saying, point this many fingers, there's, you know, really there's a finger and a thumb. So it's like one, two and a half, right? Or something. It's kind of chubby. But you got these three pointing back at you, right? The Bible tells us to quit looking at the log, right? The splinter in their eye and look at the log in your own. Amen? Be set free this morning. God wants you to be free. Quit blaming everybody but yourself. You got to dig deep into it and say, God, what is it that you want me to deal with? What is it that you want me to face so I can be free? See, we're even reminded that during this Holy Week, Jesus heals people and he sets them free from their trauma because he faced his trauma first. There's no event in human history more important than Jesus' death and resurrection. His perfect love was shown by his perfect sacrifice. Jesus heals our body and he heals our souls. And he saves us from our sins because of his death on a cross and resurrection from the grave. And that's what we celebrate today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in the highest. Amen. Hosanna, Hosanna. If you were here last week, Hosanna. Save now. Save now. During the first Holy Week and Jesus' final day before his death, he was arrested in a garden and taken for trial. It was a brief ordeal because there was no real evidence against him. Nonetheless, Jesus had three quick and mocking trials that lasted probably just a few minutes each. Jesus bounced from the Roman governor. His name was Pilate, and then he went to King Herod, and then he went back to Pilate again. And it was his final trial that Jesus was to be sentenced to death. Pilate, he's the Roman governor of the Jewish area of that time, 2,000 years ago. He was the overseer of that area. He didn't want to put Jesus to death personally. His wife had a dream and said, "Honey, don't you do it. I've had nightmares." I'd use my own language in that, but that's what it says, right? But Pilate already had a difficult and shaky relationship with the Jewish population. The Jews were so angry with his leadership and the idols that he put up all over the place. It was possible that the Jewish people were getting ready to riot against him and the Romans. So Pilate did what most politicians do. They give in to the corrupt crowd. They give in to the loudest, most upset group of people. Why? Just to keep the peace. That's a whole nother sermon. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets set free there. Hallelujah. Find salvation in Jesus. The government will never save you, right? Plus, man, you don't want to pay 10% tithe. How much money is coming out for the government? I'm moving on. Okay. Hallelujah. Man, that was from the Holy Ghost. That was from me. I don't know. But I don't know why I felt that. Hallelujah. But see, at this time, Pilate just wanted to keep the peace. Pilate finds himself in history with another highly controversial situation. This time he has two men before him, right? He has this guy who just got arrested. His name is Jesus. And then he has, right, this other guy who's a notorious prisoner, and he's awaiting for his death on death row. His name is Barabbas. Pilate at this point might have said to himself, he probably said, "Hey, here's an opportunity to simply let Jesus go free. A man, I see no blame or wrongdoing on him. This should probably appease the Jewish people for a little while. I'll put forth our worst prisoner over here, then I'll put forward this Jesus guy. They surely won't let Barabbas go." Let's find out what happened. Let's open your Bibles up to Matthew 27, okay? In the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels. What that is there? It's an account of what happened when Jesus was alive. So we call them the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was the first book. If you open your Bible about halfway, you're not far enough. Keep going toward the back. Okay, it's about 3/4 the way. The Old Testament, it takes up a majority of our Bible, but there's the New Testament. It's the good news of Jesus. And Matthew's the first book. If you open up that's a book. It's titled Matthew, and it's named after the guy Matthew. And Matthew was a tax collector. He was a sinner. He was terrible. But Jesus said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. And he did that. And when he did that, he followed a whole bunch of other people that most of us would probably write off. But Matthew, he wrote about his account walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. So if you get to Matthew, if you're there, say, hey. Okay, so you're going to go to 27. That's the big number on there. That's the chapter. Okay? And then the little number is 15. We're going to start there. Now, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses, right? The big number's chapter and verses. But the Bible was written in books. And so that's a book. And the reason why we have chapter and verses is so that way I don't say, open up your Bible to somewhere, somehow, in the book of Matthew. And you're like, I'm going to take forever to find it. So it's a reference point. And that's why we do that. And that's why the Bible is written the way it is. So Matthew 27:15, we're going to read through 26, and I'm reading now the NLT version, New Living Translation. Let's read it. Let's see what happened. Now it was the governor's custom each year during Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd. Anyone they wanted. Okay, that's cool. This year there was a notorious prisoner. His name was Barabbas. As the crowd gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, which one do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Now, verse 18 gives us a little insight, and it says this. He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Okay, verse 19. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message. Say, hey, baby, hey, sugar doll, right? Well, I don't know. I'm inserting my own things. Whatever she called her husband, okay? Pie, right? I made that up, okay. Moving on. This is what it says, leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night. By the way, listen to your wife. If she's a godly wife, listen to her. She got something to say, okay? Verse 20, only a female said yes. Not a male in here said anything. Yes, that's right, right? I'm not even going to look over there because I don't know who said it, but maybe their husband's right next to them. I'm not sure. But you should have said yes. Amen. Moving on. That's free. That's free marriage counseling this morning. So she has a nightmare. She suffered through the night, and she tells her husband, do not do anything to that innocent man. Verse 20. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. Verse 21. So the governor asked again, which of these two do you want me to release to you? The crowd shouted back, Barabbas. Pilate responded, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? They shouted back, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the mob roared back even louder, crucify him! Verse 24, Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that the riot was starting to develop. It was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and he washed his hands before the crowd saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. And all the people yelled back, we will take responsibility for his death, we and our children. Verse 26, so Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip and then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Church, we don't hear again about Barabbas in the Bible. I don't know what happened to him after that moment. So I've often wondered what Barabbas was maybe thinking during these events. See, Barabbas was just sitting on death row in a Roman prison and certainly aware that he could be killed at any day, at any moment, at any time. There was not a clear process of parole or further appeals for him to count on. It was over for him. There was no more hope for Barabbas. He was a prisoner who deserved death. And deep down, he publicly knew it. He probably knew that this was the end. Each passing day was a day closer to his certain death. Church, it was inevitable. And then the day comes. He can hear the shouts of the crowds ringing throughout the courtyard. Crucify him! Crucify him! Perhaps Barabbas was thinking to himself, my time's up. They're coming for me. So the guards open up the door, his prison door and his prison cell, and they drag him outside. Then the most astonishing thing happens. The crowd starts celebrating his newfound freedom. And as he hears shouts of, give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! His chains are released and he's set free. See, Barabbas is now a free man. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free, church. But the truth is, God saw Barabbas. And the love of our Heavenly Father is what set Barabbas free. So when I look at this story again, even this morning, I realize who Barabbas represents. Barabbas is me. Barabbas is you. See, Jesus, he saw me bound in my prison cell, and he set me free. In Romans chapter 5, it says this in verses 6, 7, and 8. It says this in the NIV. It says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You will never hear of another story where the hero dies for the villain. See, Barabbas is the one person in all of history who could literally say that Jesus carried his cross. Carried his cross for him. See, Barabbas, he can literally say that Jesus took his death and Barabbas was given the freedom that Jesus deserved. Jesus bore the guilt and the shame. Jesus took on the curse and disgrace, and Jesus took on the suffering that Barabbas was supposed to face. Barabbas received the release. He received the freedom. He received the life that Jesus deserved. God saw Barabbas. And he sent his one and only son for Barabbas. Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this, for God made Christ who never sinned to be an offering for our sin so we could be made right with God through Christ. Church, I read this again this morning. Who is Barabbas? Barabbas is me. Barabbas is you. So there's a song that I've listened to over and over and over again in the last few weeks. This song has helped inspire this sermon. It's inspired what God's put on my heart for this morning, and it's titled, I Am Barabbas by Josiah Queen. By the way, go to YouTube, type in Josiah Queen, guy's anointed. He is related to an Open Bible pastor and his family up in Waverly, Iowa. And I think he's going to be at camp, possibly, for the kids or for the youth. I wish you guys were paying attention. You could have heard that. That's cool. Praise God. It's all right. Would you like to share with the class? Okay, moving on. I say that because that was me. I remember in a church, a really big church before, and the pastor says, you in the back. And everybody does this. The bad thing is the wall was behind us. Ain't nobody behind us. Yeah, you in the back. I was like, You talk one more time and all of you are going to come sit in these front seats, right? Look at all this front action y'all missing to this morning. Amen? So we're not doing that because you're already in the front. Praise God. Amen. Let me read the lyrics to this song. It's so powerful. It's titled, I Am Barabbas from Josiah Queen. It says, They said that this preacher man comes from Galilee. He did something so absurd that he deserved this penalty. How can it be? I know I've done my wrongs, and doing wrong is something I do well. I know the court of law, and something like this doesn't ring a bell. How can it be? How can this be? I am Barabbas. You took upon my cross. I was that prisoner till you bought my bond with blood. I can't run away from what the accusers say. I am Barabbas, your friend. They made me sit right there as I watched them beat the preacher man. 39 of all of them lashes should have been on my own skin. How can it be? How can this be? I am Barabbas. You took upon my cross. I was that prisoner till you bought my bond with blood. I can't run away from what the accusers say. I am Barabbas, your friend. I'll never comprehend the repercussions of my every sin. Is this love, or is this hatred flowing from bitterness? How can it be? But he looked at me, and I said, I am Barabbas. You took upon my cross. I was that prisoner till you bought my bond with blood. I can't run away from what my accusers say. I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas, your friend. Church, the angry Jewish crowd chose the wrong man. But the Lord put forth the right one. This is the gospel. This is the good news. You see, you and I were sinners. The Bible says that we fall short of the glory of God. We sit in a spiritual prison. We're bound and we're helpless, awaiting for the day when we'll receive our just punishment for what we deserve. We sit in a spiritual death row, just waiting to be dragged out to die, not knowing when God's righteous judgment will come down. But the good news is this, that when we repent of our sins and we trust in Jesus to save us, he sees us. And he goes off to the cross in our place. Jesus gets what we deserve, and we get what he deserves. This is the greatest exchange in all of human history. This is the gospel, church. This is the good news. See, I am Barabbas, and God saw me. And now, because he paid my penalty, I am now a friend of God. Romans 5, verses 9 through 11 says this, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Verse 11, so now we can rejoice in this wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus has made us friends of God. Will you look at me for a moment? Some of y'all looking at me. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you did this morning. I don't even know what you're thinking right now. I don't know what you've done. I don't know. I don't know the sentence that you deserve to serve. But God sees you. And he loves you. And Jesus took your place. He did. Your sin makes you an enemy of God. Because he can't be around sin. He's a holy God. Even if you make excuses for your sin, it's still sin. It makes you an enemy of his. But if you choose to give that sin and surrender your life to Jesus, you can be a friend of God. No, you haven't earned this forgiveness. Nobody has. You have not deserved another chance. I haven't. No, you didn't deserve this kind of love either. You do not deserve to go free. But God said 2,000 years ago, I will treat Jesus like Barabbas so I can treat Barabbas like my son. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 and 17, that he gave his one and only son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his son into the world to not judge the world but to save the world through him. And he literally started with Barabbas. Isn't that incredible? Can you think of that for just a moment? Jesus thought of you right now when he died literally for Barabbas. That blows my spiritual mind. It's crazy. I want to ask you a couple questions. Are you bound? Are you held under the temptation of sin that is controlling your life? I know somebody's not bound anymore. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. You know what's more addictive than nicotine? The love of Jesus. I don't mean just hearing a sermon. I mean experiencing the love of God in a supernatural way that only you can say. I don't get it, but I know it's true. I can't explain it, but I can feel it. I don't know. I can't put it into words, but there's no way I'm going back. It's more addictive, right? I think DC Talk said I'm addicted to Jesus. Who was it, right? And who was it else in that? Josh knows. Come on, Josh, say it. I knew it. I don't know if Josh has any tattoos, but if he had one, it'd probably be with Carmen on it. He loves Carmen. Amen. I got saved in the 90s. I'm like, who's Carmen, right? Unfortunately, I discovered Carmen after he was no longer cool, unfortunately. But if you go back, I'm sorry, some of y'all offended you. Come to the altar. Jesus. He just muted me. I'm sorry, Josh. You're the first one to be offended. Hallelujah. We need somebody up there so Josh can come to the altar. Hallelujah. But they had a song that says, I'm addicted to Jesus. If you like an old school flavor, look it up later. But only Jesus' love and his truth can separate and break every single bondage in your entire life. Only Jesus. Some of y'all, are you controlled by sin? Are you in a dark place right now in life? If you're online and that's you, say that's me. Are you shackled by pain, shame, unforgiveness, or maybe trauma? I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do? Are you going to shake yourself free? Are you tired yet? Are you tired of trying and searching for your own freedom? Let me tell you something. You're like Barabbas. There's only one answer. There's only one way out of this eternal death sentence. See, Jesus says, I will take your place. I'll take your 39 lashes. I will buy your bond with my blood. I will take upon your cross. I will face death so you can live. And you might say back to him, no, 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 I deserve this pain. No, I deserve this guilt. I deserve this sickness. I deserve this shame. I deserve this trauma. I deserve the consequences. I deserve it all. I'm Barabbas. And Jesus looks at you, church, this morning, Easter Sunday, and he says this back to you. He says, no, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. Let me have your shame. Let me have your guilt. Let me have it all. You can't carry it. It will destroy you. It will kill you. Your sentence is coming. Time is running out. So give me your sins. Give me your shame so I can free you from them all. You are Barabbas, but I am Jesus, the Savior of the world. I want to tell you some truth this morning. Jesus sees you. He sees you. I don't know how many people walk out of church and say, Pastor, were you like watching me this week? Because the word of God was like just for me. And I said, no, I wasn't. But God was. And that word is for you because he loves you and he sees you. He sees you right where you're at. But I want to ask you a question. He doesn't only see you, he knows you. He doesn't only know you, he made you. The things you're walking through right now that you're blaming God for, that's not God's fault, but God wants to get you through it. It's a broken world with broken bodies and you've made some dumb decisions. Why do you expect life to be so great? You haven't been great. Don't blame a God that's great that you haven't been great. But you can be great if you allow a God that's great to get into your life and change everything. All things won't be great, but you'll serve the great one to get you through any situation. See, I want to ask you a question. Will you allow God to free you this morning? Will you allow him to free you? Let me tell you something. This freedom's real. It's real. I let Jesus change my life when I was 15 years old. He took my place. Some of y'all, I don't see your faces very often, or I've never met you before. I want to tell you something about my background, because you maybe haven't heard this before. I grew up in a church that really never preached salvation, never preached the gospel message that it was for me. I just heard stories from the Bible that I honestly could have read on my own. But I had a guy come up and say it every week, and it felt dead. It felt condemning. It felt wrong. I just didn't feel the love of God. I didn't understand, but I felt like it was just church. Like it's what we do. We just go to church. It's just check it off the box, right? It's Easter. I go to church, right? We just thought it was that. Until I was about 15 years old and I went to a church and I could not believe it that they preached a message that I actually read in the Word of God later that Jesus sees me. He sees my pain. He sees the things I've done. He sees all my issues. He sees all the mess that I've been. And he says, I love you the way you are right now. I love you the way you are right now. See, this is where woke churches stop, and that we won't stop because we ain't woke. I'm awake, but I'm not woke, okay? So, hallelujah. I don't know. That's from the Holy Ghost. I'm awake, but I'm not woke. So we're not going to stop there. He sees you in his mess, and he loves you enough, he's going to get you out of it. He's not going to allow it to keep taking place, and you say, well, this is just how I was born. No, you were born with a purpose. You were born with a plan, and it's to give him glory and honor. If you serve your life just for you, you don't know the God that I serve. The God that I serve loves me enough. He finds me where I'm at and that he served, that I want to serve him the rest of my life. Trust me, I didn't want to get up here and have a bunch of people look at me and be afraid every Sunday because y'all look at me so weird. I didn't have this plan for my life. But God says, you're a loud mouth and I made you a loud mouth. So I'm going to put my words in your mouth so you can be a loud mouth. Amen. Everybody in the house, there is a calling of God on your life, but you have to find the freedom of Jesus first. Amen? So I remember when I was young and I felt all this condemnation and I had all this guilt, I had all this pain. I kept thinking to myself that I was this and I was that and the world kept telling me, well, I wasn't tall enough, I wasn't handsome enough, I didn't have enough swag, I didn't have enough whatever, right? You know, I didn't have enough. And I'm like, but I've been watching MTV when my parents didn't know. I'm trying to get that swag, okay? So not a good plan. Not a good plan. He's like, you're just a wannabe. Oh, come on, man. See, now I want to be Jesus, right? I want to be his servant. I want to love him. But I remember when I was going through all this stuff and I was going through all these terrible things and I was facing all this, just the weight of life. I felt like I messed everything up. I felt like nobody really liked me and they're just putting up with me. And I felt like I kept making mistakes. And then I go to a church that first off, they started raising their hands and I said, Mom, why they all got questions? Who's gonna get to all the, that guy's got two questions. Oh, nope, he's got one. Oh, now he has half of one. Like, it's like, commit, buddy, commit. Like, what are you doing? Okay? Do you got a question or not? Just sit down. Amen. But I didn't understand that kind of praise. I didn't understand that kind of stuff. So I remember I went to this church and they preached that Jesus loves me how I am right now. And he loves me enough that he wants to see me set free from some things. And then they preached the love of God that I was like, I have never in my life heard that God actually loves me. He sees me. He created me. When Jesus died on the cross for Barabbas, he died on the cross for me. Like what? And I remember that there was this call. Like, if you would like to give your life to Jesus and experience the love of God like you've never experienced before, I remember they said, close your eyes and raise your hands. Like it's some secret. That actually, I gotta stop doing that because it's not actually scriptural. It says if you have to publicly confess. So it's like, all right, everybody hide real quick, right? They're having an Easter egg hunt down there. We ain't doing that up here, okay? We're not gonna hide things, right? But I remember they said, close your eyes, bow your head, and raise your hand if that's you. And I felt the overwhelming love of God. I stood to my feet and I said, I need that love. I need to be set free. I can't believe that he loves me. The God that created all this spoke to me from that person right there. And he spoke to every part of me that I didn't know was so broken, but now it's been exposed. I have to be free. I'm tired of living in this jail. I'm tired of living in this prison. I'm tired of living with these shackles. I'm tired of thinking the wrong things about me that I don't even know why I'm here, but there's a purpose. And I stood up and I remember giving my life to Jesus. And I remember going to bed that night, and I've talked about it a million times. That was the one night I can remember in my life. I didn't feel any guilt. I didn't feel any shame. I didn't have all these things speaking to me. I felt the peace of God I've never felt before. And let me tell you, I've never, ever turned back. Not once. Church, I'm here this morning to preach to you today because I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I am Barabbas and I'm a friend of Jesus. And you can be too. You can be too. Pastor, how can I know such a freedom? How can I be a friend of God? Here's the first thing. You have to accept the fact that the shackles you were supposed to wear, Jesus removed from you and he put them on himself 2,000 years ago. You have to accept that the cross you were supposed to hang on, he hung on for you. You have to accept that the death you were to die, he died for you. And guess what? There's no better day than Resurrection Sunday to say, yes, Jesus, I accept this. There's no better Sunday. I hope you come back next Sunday. But this is a great Sunday. See, Jesus came to die for you and save you because he loves you and he sees you. Today you can experience this love through a prayer. It all starts with a prayer. The Bible teaches us that hope in our salvation starts with a prayer. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe, what is Lord? That means the one that is over all, right? President Biden, President Trump, whoever is not the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, right? Or your mommy, your daddy, they ain't the Lord, all right? And your landlord is not your Lord, although it's in his name, it's kind of confusing, but it's not your Lord, right? Right? Your job is not your Lord. Your boss is not your Lord. Jesus is to be the Lord. He's the Lord. And I love this. So if you openly declare the true Lord, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, church, you will be saved. Amen? Now, this is where a lot of people lose it. It's not just saying a prayer and living life how you want to. Jesus never said, say a prayer and do what you want. If you don't follow Jesus, you don't know Jesus. I don't know what your life's like, and maybe you said a prayer before, but you didn't follow Jesus. I'm going to say it because other people won't. You can't be saved and not follow Jesus. Just because you said a prayer doesn't make you saved. It's the beginning of salvation. Once you say a prayer, that's the beginning of opening and believing and start walking with Jesus. Don't lose it here, church. I wrote it down here. It's the beginning of a lifelong transformation. Don't go back to bondage. Instead, choose freedom Jesus offers today by following him every day with your life. It will not be easy. It will not be easy. It's going to be really hard. But let me tell you, there's no better way to live. There's no better way. Has anybody walked two ways before? And if you know Jesus is the best way to live, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's true. We got testimonies in the house today. It's true. It's true. I've lived both lives. I ain't going back. Church, will you please stand with me? Brent, will you please come? Okay. Don't lose me just because you stood, right? Don't lose me. That's a lot of action at one time. I get it. Oh, by the way, if you can't clap on beat, just fake it. That'd be helpful. It's like, just stop. Just stop it. Stop it. You're killing us, right? We're focusing here. Hey, I love Jesus. Hey, I love, stop it. Stop it. I know you love Jesus. That's where your prayer closet. Hallelujah. By the way, shut your prayer closet. Hallelujah. Amen. Moving on. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Amen. Somebody's got set free for that. And so do their neighbors. Okay. Will you focus with me for a moment? Pastor, I am focused. You're not focused. Okay. We went to a conference. They said, oh, there goes a rabbit or there goes a squirrel. Pew! All right, I'm back. I had to kill it. I had to kill that. Kill the squirrel. Kill the rabbit. Quit chasing to his families. Today's a good day. Today's the greatest day. It's Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. If you'd like to do it, you can. If not, you don't have to. But I'm going to ask you to repeat after me this prayer. Okay? If you're ready, say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay, you have to say it out loud, okay? Confess with your mouth. You're going to have to say this out loud. All right, let's start. Dear God, I admit that I have done some ugly things. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. I am Barabbas. And you saw me. Thank you that you, Jesus, paid the price on my cross for me, and that you rose from the grave. I put my faith in you. I ask you, Jesus, into my heart and into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Seal that right now. Just make it silent. Close your eyes for a second. Make it real with God. Make it real with God. Make it real. What you just said, make that real. Make that real. Make that real. Not just something you said, but something you believe, if you believe it. Now, there's people in the house today, you prayed that prayer for the very first time. Or there's people in the house today that haven't prayed that prayer in a really long time. And I'm going to ask you one more question here. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Do you want to make him the Lord of your life? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Do you want to make a public declaration today that I want to give my life to Jesus? If that's you today, will you come join me up here? Will you come join me? Come on, come on. Don't be scared. The Bible says all of heaven will rejoice. If that's you today, you say, I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time, or I want to give my life back to Jesus again. Come, 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 come on up. Come on up. I see you. Amen. Come on up. Meet me up here. The Bible says that if one sinner gives his life to Christ, all of heaven rejoices. Amen. Come on up. Don't be afraid. Come on up. Come on up. Amen. 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 Come on up. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. If you're afraid, bring a friend. If you're sitting by somebody and you don't know who they are, they'll come with you, right? If you don't, we're watching. See you. You better help somebody out. Come on up. Come on up. Amen. What's up, Calvin? Come on up. Amen. Come on up. This is a great day. This is an awesome day. This is a perfect day. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is Easter. Don't wait. Here's your chance. Come on up. Come on. Come on. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you something. I've prayed for you all week. I've prayed for you for weeks. I've prayed for you over and over again for this moment. I've prayed for you, specifically for you, because I knew this moment would be the moment that's going to change your life. I've prayed for you. You know that. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for all of you. I've prayed for you. This moment, we've been praying. You know who else has been praying is our prayer teams. They've been praying for you that this morning will be the moment of salvation and freedom, right? You'll never go back to that old life. You won't be bound anymore. All the things that have been holding you down, all the lies of the enemy are broken in the name of Jesus. Amen? That Jesus loves you. He wants to set you free this morning. Why? He rose from the grave because he gave you power back over all the things of your life so you never have to do that again. You never have to think like that again. You never got to go back to that. There's a huge call in your life. Huge, 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 huge call. Right? You know what people are the most appreciative? The ones that need the most grace. I was one of them. I'm so appreciative of what Jesus did for me. I'm so appreciative that when he set me free, I said, okay, now what can I do to give back to him? So Jesus gave all of his life. He gave all, will you look at me? He gave all of his life. So this is what he asks of you. Give him the rest of yours. Just give him the rest of yours. Amen. Prayer teams, will you come up and join me? All right, if you came, will you guys bring it in here, over here? Come here. I want to pray for you. Church, extend your hands, right? We got to join heaven for a moment. We're going to, here in a moment, we're going to celebrate. But these prayer teams, they have some awesome information for you. There's these packets that we made. And there's information about what now, like what do I do now, and who is Jesus, and what is salvation, how do I read my word, and who is the Godhead, and what's the being baptized in water, what's being baptized in the Holy Spirit, all this stuff. So can we hold hands? I want to hold hands. You, worship or prayer teams, you hold hands with them too. Amen. Right? Let's get some unity going here. Amen. 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 Hold hands. Amen. And here in a moment, whoever goes in the middle has to dance. Like that's, isn't that like what we did? I'm just playing. I'm joking. Go back there. It's jokes, man. They're jokes. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Amen. You can, let's double hand. There you go. There you go. Okay, you're good. Let's pray, okay? We're going to seal the deal this morning. It's pretty awesome you said yes to Jesus. Amen. And the enemy, I want to tell you something. The enemy's going to come after you. Immediately. It says that the devil comes immediately to try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But we're not going to let that happen because we're going to raise up an angel army around your life right now to surround you and to break those things, to break the bondage. And if you know what you need to get rid of, don't hesitate. Get rid of it immediately. Okay? Don't allow the enemy a foothold. What does that mean? That means like when the door's closing, you're almost free and he puts his foot right in there and then you let him in. Shut that door. Shut it. Shut it for good. Amen? Shut it for good. Shut it for good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy to be praised. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your freedom. I lift up these people that said yes to Jesus. I accept it. I am Barabbas. And you took my shackles off. You took my nails, you took my beating, you took my cross, and you didn't just die, but then you rose from the grave and you gave the power back to me. Thank you. Holy Spirit, fill them right now with your spirit. Fill them right now. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your peace right now in the name of Jesus. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, all the way to their fingertips, holding another person's hand, Right now, may they feel the anointing, the presence, and the power of God in a supernatural way. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for this and all that you do. I pray that right now, when the enemy comes to steal, that you give them a conviction upon their heart to know what to do is right, and then give them the strength to do what is right. Thank you now, Jesus. I pray for these prayer teams that are going to come and speak to them. Let them pray with them. Let them minister to them, and let them reach out to them this week. God, we're going to walk hand in hand together through this life as a church family. That's what we are. We're a family of believers. I thank you for this love. I thank you for this grace. Now fill them with your love. Woo, fill them with your love. Fill them with your love right now. If it's you that you've accepted Christ, just say, fill me with your love. Just say it. Say it out loud. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your love. You are my Savior. I accept you. Fill me with your love. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if that's you, will you raise your hand? The prayer team is going to go to you. Raise your hand if you gave your life to Christ. The prayer team is going to come right to you and pray for you right now. Raise your hand. Church, we're going to do something before we go, okay? They're going to just minister to them up here. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Prayer teams are going to come to you. Don't leave without getting something this morning. We're going to worship here in just a moment. But I want to do something while they're talking and interrupt their talking for a moment. It says that if one sinner comes to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. So can we join heaven for a moment? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. He's the King. He's the King. Long live the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Will you join Brent and us in worship before we go today? We love you. We can't wait to see you. Come back next week. There'll be more. Hallelujah. Amen.